Okay, sports fans, greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. Hope you guys are having a great day. It has been, it's been a fucking morning. Thankfully, since this podcast isn't on YouTube and I don't have to worry about monetization, I can curse in the first 30 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever it is, some arcane arbitrary rule that YouTube puts up. Of a video or audio production. Oh my God. I hope you guys are having a great day. Thank you for following the podcast. Thank you for the support everywhere on Patreon, on all the different podcast platforms. If you got a review of the podcast, that'd be dope. If you guys would send some emails, that'd be even more cooler. Because I'd love to talk with you and like to hear what you have to say. Your feedback would be very valuable to me as I've got a bunch of questions and, you know, comments and topics and stuff. So sure, why not? Let's get into it. Let's have some fun. Or let's at the very least talk some shit. And you can always catch me, well, usually catch me Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/linkib. Yeah, good times. And you're probably going to hear a lot of this in the background. I can't help that. Northeast Florida is on fire. Florida in general is on fire. And there have been fires burning for the last couple of days now. You know, this is one of those moments where you start to question the sanity and the mental capacity of the people around you. It's been one of my biggest issues. You guys probably have heard me mention it a million times before. But one of the things that drives me the craziest is when people won't do something that would take them very little time and effort to do just because they don't want to do it. And because like they're like the attitude is, if it's not my job or if it doesn't directly impact or affect me, why give a fuck, right? It's a very selfish concept of human nature in general. But it's depressing to witness, you know, because I was once told a long time ago, and I believe it to be very true, you can't expect yourself from other people. And there's some validity to that statement, right? But you can expect decency from other people. You can expect, you know, a little bit of common courtesy from other people. And when you don't get it, it'll frustrate you to no end. And you'll either give up on those people and, you know, find new people to surround yourself with, or you become a hateful, spiteful being, I think. Those are generally the two options, because I think that, you know, when you feel like you're ignored, underappreciated, or, you know, that like you're just surrounded by thoughtless, careless people, you can't just sit in that space for very long. You can't just be like, well, it's just fine. Everything's just fine. Eventually, you're going to go, fuck this shit. And you're going to grab the nearest person and wrench their head off. You know, because that kind of tension and aggression boils up inside of a person. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like, I started the podcast. And, like, I try to keep it light and fun sometimes. But, you know, we're seeing the results of just society in general deciding, it's not my fucking problem, so why should I care? And and I think some people think that it's a recent phenomenon, and it really isn't. Generally speaking, human beings are selfish, terrible individuals. It's society and a concept of personal morality, the morality that makes us better. Wanting to work together and live and cohabitate and work, you know, build communities is what pulls the selfishness off of people. You know what I mean? It kind of peels that back and goes, you know, if we're going to make this work, we have to actually do and be better. So I think that's the real big issue that I have is that, you know, as long as I don't have to fucking give a fuck, why would I? That's usually what happens. And I'm looking at just some of the news lately and just looking around life in general and going like, you know, I kind of wonder if I give a shit anymore, you know? It's like I do, but I don't. Let me just dig right into it, okay? Because I'm rambling a little bit. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. But like I said, you know, just looking at society in general, and you there are moments where you feel like a little bit of validation, but you also know because of where it's coming from, you go like, well, that's not going to work out great. Like we've all probably seen by now, Kash Patel just basically being MIA. The FBI director is a little mini midget man who got his rocks off getting drunk with the USA hockey team for the Olympics and acting a complete fool. Well, it seems that he's like either not showing up for work or, you know, just disappearing for days at a time. People are worried about him because they, well, I don't know if they're necessarily worried about him, but like they're like, we got to blame somebody. Where's Cash? And he's gone. Like he just disappears for days. And well, they think they're thinking that he has like a real drug, like drug and or alcohol problem, which I wouldn't be surprised if dude was on K. If you've ever looked at his eyes, that dude doesn't look like he's not high, right? Like both of his eyes are looking like they're trying to see a fight at the back of his head. And they're both racing to get there. Dude's zooted almost all the time. I'm positive. Between him and Elon Musk and Pete Hegseth, at least is able, because he's such a drunk, he's able to keep it a little bit more together like when he's out in public. I mean, but like, yeah. They're a disaster. That whole cabinet's a disaster. There's no getting around it. And it's just crazy that you see so much of it like happening all around us. And it's almost like, well, nobody cares until like I said, nobody cares until it matters to them, you know, about anything. It's really kind of it's kind of a depressing thing, but on the one hand, it is depressing and sad to think about. But on the other hand, it actually can be kind of revelatory. So if you can get some good out of it, if you go like, oh yeah, I know what those people look like now, so I can avoid those people. That's way cooler, and that's way less headache. like, you know, between Trump trying to elevate himself as Jesus, Pete Hegseth stupidly quoting, like, basically co-opting a quote from Pulp Fiction. If you remember the movie, with Samuel L. Jackson at the beginning when he quotes that fake Bible verse, or it's not fake necessarily, it's just a highly doctored version of an actual Bible verse. And Pete Hegseth went and did his own like script doctoring on it and then decided to spit that out to other people as like those like Bible truth. And I'm like, dude, you won. Pulp Fiction did that as a joke because it was in the film. It was a scripted thing for like, you know, ha-has and whatnot. Or to look badass. You did that with every intention of thinking you really ate. Like, you thought you was really at the plate just munching. And you looked the biggest damn fool in front of the whole world. And you didn't even make it sound good. At least Samuel L. Jackson put some stank on it. You know what I mean? But like I said, with all the firings that are going on in the cabinet, people being replaced, people moving out, people moving in, you know, that's kind of like what's happening now. You're like, well, again, nobody cared, at least in the Republican side of things. Nobody cared until it started to affect them. You know, Donald Trump was perfectly fine with having these morons and sycophants all around him until it's like, well, what's going on with these Epstein files? He's like, ah, shit, man, people are actually going to have to start doing their jobs. Now I'm in trouble. You know, it's like looking around for, let's start a war with Iran. Let's fuck with Venezuela. You know, it's, let's send people into, let's send troops, like let's send not troops, let's send troops, and then let's send ICE agents into various democratic cities so that, no, look at this stuff, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of thing. And I think it's, when it boils down to like the local level, like we just heard it's on the news recently, and I didn't know that this was actually a thing. But that, marriage to your first cousin is still legal in the state of Florida. And, you know, I think Ron DeSantis is trying to, like, blame. Somehow he tried to spin this so that it was something about, like, Islamist, like, fundamentalism under Sharia law. Because why wouldn't you blame Islam? Like, you want to grab this stupid fuck by the ears and be like, hey, Hamilton, when Florida was founded, I just want you to think about this. How many Muslims were on those boats? How many of them came down here and covered wagons and helped set this? None? None. Okay, so when you guys decided to take this land away from the Seminoles and the other native tribes that lived here, it was mostly like Spaniards and Europeans, right? Like Spaniards and like white Europeans. You know what I mean? The Caucasian Europeans. So is you guys. So all this shit is your fault. I wanted to make sure we got that clear. You know, the rest of us were not here when you decided to make these weird ass rules where you're banging your own cousins. So this is on you. I don't get that at all. But again, like I said, this is the same thing with Ron DeSantis as well. Everybody, you know, had options. There were other options that were out there. I went and exercised my right to vote, but I also went and exercised my right to use the internet for more than cat videos and recipes. And I found out that there were other, you know, contenders for governor. I tried to vote for them, independent candidates, you know, Green Party, anybody who wasn't a Republican establishment politician. For sure, but also there didn't seem to be a real solid Democratic candidate either. And here's the other funky thing. Again, nobody cares until it affects them, but it affects me now, and it always has. So I've always kind of been like, on this. We'd have closed primaries here in the state. So if you're not voting Republican or Democrat, you're independent, you don't get a vote in those primaries. So, I mean, there's probably there's not an insignificant amount of people who could be swing votes for either Republicans or Democrats, but we're going to, because they don't want to be aligned with a particular political party, get all those ads and shit come, you know, the election season, they opt out. And as such, they miss out on being able to vote in some of these things. Like the grand general elections, sure, you get a say then. But if you're trying to get your candidate past the primaries onto a ballot, you're fucked, you know? And it won't matter. Like I said, it won't matter until a couple more people in these stupid, you know, backwater areas realize how screwed over they are by Republican politics and Republican politicians as a whole. They'll be like, oh, I should have thought about that, but now gas is $7.50 a gallon. I'm eating, you know, stone soup in my backyard. And my kids are all dying because I can't afford healthcare. I wish somebody had told us. And then we're going to get to hit him in the back of the head with a rock. Like, fucker, we did. But again, like I said, until it affects you, who cares? I think that's maybe why God decided to burn Florida this month, this week. Like everything I said, it's on fire. The coughing that you're hearing is not just because there's a ton of smoke in the air and whatnot. That's a little bit of my throat just being dry. So I'm going to pause for a second and grab some water real quick. And through the magic of editing, you didn't have to hear any of that. But yeah, like, there's so much stuff that's like literally on fire. There was a large fire that was just south of here. There are multiple fires throughout like the Northeast Florida Panhandle area. And then a couple of, you know, not insignificant, but like not on as grand a scale fires through Central Florida into South Florida. And this is like sincerely like the worst time for this to happen because we haven't had much rain this quote unquote spring. And as we're going through April into May, like this is like when it's really hot and gross around Florida, like between May and August is like murder season. Cause it's so freaking hot and dry. I would imagine that there's more than a couple of fire departments and other municipal resources that are underfunded because, you know, we've done such a bang-up job of keeping our economy up that now we're trying to fight these fires. And, you know, not we as the collective, but the city is, and the state, they're trying to fight these fires and it's just hard to manage. Well, you know, maybe if you had, you know, selected somebody with a little bit more financial and business acumen than a guy who constantly bankrupts casinos and has to file bankruptcy multiple times and keeps getting sued and losing millions and millions of dollars hand over fist. And the only way that he can make any money is to use grifting techniques, you know, like Bitcoin to make money. You might have some around this motherfucker. I think maybe God's just like trying to torch the state though. I think he's like sick of Florida. Which, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's probably for the best, you know? You think about just the very notion that, I mean, I guess people are terrible and it doesn't matter until it bothers them. Like Lauren Boebert, who has a lot of fucking nerve coming out of the side of her face and saying that Republican politicians are such perverts. Really? The lady who is stroking off her boyfriend in the middle of a stage play? You're the one, you got a lot of fucking nerve. Now all of a sudden it's like, ho. And it's like, oh, shut up, dude. Or the Kardashian closet. Have you seen this thing? By the way, I don't want to put a link to it because I don't want to drive traffic to it. Just take my word for it. Essentially, they're doing what poor people call a garage sale. And they're putting all of their useless shit online for exorbitant prices because they hope that you will help subsidize their lives. I don't give a damn if they go completely belly up, be quite honest. I think that I'm done with making stupid people famous. But yeah, just more examples of trash people being trash. And then we get to be upset about it. But, where is all the outrage, before now? Oh my God. And then, like, the other thing, too, this is the other thing I remember to make sure I mention this. There was a thing called an online rape academy. Now, I was not going to look into this any further, and I definitely did not for this podcast. Essentially, what I've come to understand is that there was a collection of people who were teaching men how to basically physically disable their wives by, drugs, alcohol, or other means so that they could have sex with them when they were unconsenting, when they were unable to give their consent. Which is disgusting, and those people should be buried under the jail for sure. But the fact that it got so many millions of views before anybody bothered to say anything about it says a lot. It says a lot about the United States and a lot about like our society as a whole. People are willing to look the other way as long as it doesn't affect them. And there were some conversations that were had about this. And one of the things was a very valid point to a certain degree, but also it becomes a real sticky wicket. Because when that kind of thing happens, we're like, so, and there's going to be a segment of people who are going to be like, and this is what's wrong with men. And and you're like, all right, come on. Because rationally, we know not all men are like this, right? I mean, how many millions of men are there in the world? And this handful of assholes did this kind of stuff. Of course, those are terrible fucking human beings. But don't say not all men, because then the problem, because it turns around and becomes, well, it is all men until it's actually not all men. Well, that's also really sticky. That's a really, that's not sticky. It's a slippery slope to stand on, because the problem becomes, yeah, you're going to say it's all men until it's not all men. Well, then that means that every guy's definitely technically to blame. Like, it's my fault that some other asshole on another part of the world did this thing. That's what you're saying to me? Because that dude over there is a piece of shit. I'm also a piece of shit. That's not how fucking accountability works. And two, that's a ridiculous premise to stand on. And I get the idea that we should hold one another as human beings in general, regardless of what's dangling between your legs or how you identify. We should hold one another accountable for when we're seeing somebody do some fucked up shit. But if I don't see it, what am I supposed to do? Just assume that everybody's a bag of shit? What kind of life is that? Then I look around and I go, actually, maybe human beings really are the worst. On the one hand, you have to be realistic, right? Because being unrealistic in your expectations at any point is a recipe for disaster and disappointment. But on the other hand, you want to have at least some optimism and believe that people can be better than their more base natures. Otherwise, what's the point of having a society in the first place? See what I mean? And it's hard to do that balancing act and that tightrope walk between the two. When you look around, you see shit like just saw this week too. I meant to mention this, and there's other stuff that's going on, obviously, but I mean, I swear the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, that whole department, has got to be the most corrupt police force in the entire Southeast region, maybe even the Eastern Seaboard at the very barest of minimums. You guys know that I can't stand Sheriff TK Waters. And I think he's a bootlicker of the highest order. And he's the worst kind of turncoat on the black community in general. And because he's got his appointment under a Republican, you know, like basically a Republican push to get him in there, he just can't stop dancing and shucking and jiving. But in so doing, he also allows his police force to be the worst and basically co-signs everything that they do. Nothing they do is possibly wrong. Let's go down the list. We're going to just pick three examples from recent memory. One of them was a young man. William McNeil? Yeah, William McNeil Jr. Some of you may remember this because this video actually got national attention and I think maybe even international attention when he was pulled over allegedly for driving without his lights on during a foggy situation. One, if you watch any of the footage from that day, it was maybe overcast, but very clear. No fog or anything, and it wasn't raining. So they pulled him over on false pretenses to begin with. Then, when he told the officers that the reason he opened his door and they told him to shut it was because he couldn't roll down the driver's side window because it was broken, they harassed and accosted this man. So then he's like, well, if this is the interaction we're going to have, I want you to call your supervisor. And then when they're like, close your door, he's like, I can't, because if I close my door, it's going to look like I'm not obeying you guys or helping out, and I can't roll the window down. What do you want me to do? Either I open the door and talk to you, or I close the door and we wait for a supervisor. He goes, fine, wait for a supervisor. That's when the cops decide they're going to punch in his window, punched him in the face, pushed his tooth through his lip, then dragged him out of his car and slammed him against the car, punching him while they were pushing him to the ground. And two more other officers joined in. And guess what? It wasn't just white cops either. Yeah. Yeah. And no charges for them, by the way. I mean, as of the time of this podcast, as far as I'm aware, no charges have been filed against any of the officers in that dispute. And he did take it to court. But, you know, it's the American legal system, and it's also the Southern legal system, and it's also the Florida legal system, and it's also the Jacksonville legal system, all rolled into one. He's bound to lose this. Here's another one. This is a good one. So this team, last name Butler, they don't really give much more about the team, is punched in the face by a JSO cop after a team takeover was shaken down. Now, you may have heard of some of these teen takeovers in regards to, you know, as de facto protests against ICE and against police brutality. Well, guess what happens? And the fucking cops show up. So allegedly when that broke up and disbanded, the cops were there. There was a shooting or shots fired basically in the general vicinity. And so every cop in the place decided that every black face was the person that they needed to take down. They call this one kid that they punched in the face, the young man by the name of, last name Butler. They said he was the ringleader. Really? How would you know that? And the only reason I say that is because in an interview with the boy's mother, another officer, who was not the officer allegedly that punched this guy in the face, he's like another patrol officer, said, hey, we don't know. We heard shots fired in the area. We don't know if anybody has a gun. We don't know your son. Oh, you don't know my son, so you don't know if he was the ringleader or not, do you? You weren't here when he walked into this establishment, so you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. That's an easy case, and that's an easy logic point to jump to. It's not that far of a stretch. You say you don't know if you could trust my son, if you don't know if he's got a gun or anything like that, but you know for sure he was the ringleader of this group of over 200 teenagers. Really? Really? That's the stupid-ass excuse we're going to stand on. And guess what? No charges filed against the officer who openly admitted to the boy's mother that he punched him in the face. It's like, yeah, I punched him. She's like, you punched me. Like, I did. Right in the face. No remorse, no nothing. Watch the video. What they claim is that the boy tensed up and tried to pull away when an officer, without cause of provocation, reached out and placed his hands on the young man. Why? Why did you have any business touching him? If he was under any kind of, if he was under any kind of suspicion, the one thing that that officer could have done would have been to talk to this young man and then wait for other backup to come in and help support him. Instead, what he did was he grabbed the boy, and naturally, a person's fear response kicks in. So he tensed up and tried to pull away because he's scared. And he's like, that's good enough for me. All he did was have to feel this dude just kind of flinch, basically gave him two for flinching and punched him directly in the face and then threw him to the ground. No charges filed. Yep. Remember, this is your good old sheriff, T.K. Waters, right here, just cooning and dancing for the white man. And that's what happens. He's defending all these white cops who are beating up black kids, largely. And then in other instances, he goes, yeah, fuck it. Cops just get to beat up anybody they want. Here's the newest case. A cop that was acquitted after throwing a teen to the ground. He was off-duty cop, by the way. Throwing a teen to the ground at a skate park in Jacksonville Beach. Now, we actually get to know this guy's name because this guy turned himself into the Office of Professional Integrity. Really? Professional integrity? Fuck you. The incident goes like this. This guy, for whatever reason, and it's never been made clear whether he had a kid at the park. This is a thing that's been iterated on multiple times by multiple news outlets in the city. They don't know why he was there. They don't know if he had a child at the park. They don't know if he was just hanging out there. They don't know if he had been called there for whatever reason. He just was there at this skate park. So this dude, Stephen Hicks, off-duty cop, is just hanging out at the skate park. Now, the skate park has a rule. No bikes allowed, which includes e-bikes. And there are a handful of kids who are zipping around on e-bikes, which is not okay. It's against the park's rules. They were like either accosted by or like basically being, you know, admonished, I guess it's probably a gentle way of putting it, probably more like yelled at by other skaters who were at the park trying to enjoy the park. Because these bikes, you know how fast they can be and they can be dangerous. Some of you probably in various municipalities have seen how when people ride these e-bikes, they just kind of act like they're actually motorcycles. Except they're not quite as fast as motorcycles, and they either get into accidents with other pedestrians or other, you know, bicyclists, or they get hit by cars and killed. But these kids get these e-bikes, and then they lose their brains and stop thinking any further than their own self-interest. Like, I'm gonna have fun, whee! Dickhead behavior, totally get it. Totally okay with somebody being like, hey, that's an asshole move. What I'm not okay with is an off-duty police officer, an adult, grabbing a teenage boy, and the kid didn't look to be maybe more than like 12 to 14, grabbing him off his bike and slamming him to the ground. And even when he did it, there are other people around like that rushed to the guy and were like, hey, what the fuck? You could see him like putting his hand up and he says he identified himself as a police officer. When? I would like to know when. Was it before he grabbed this kid and slammed him to the ground, or was it after? And I'm willing to bet it's probably afterwards. Like, he body slams this kid to the pavement. It's pretty rough. And then he goes, hey, it's okay. I'm a cop. So the fuck what? That's a child. You put your hands on my kid, I'm gonna have to shoot you. That's just how that has to go. Because you physically assaulted a teenager, and you don't know what kind of harm you could have done to this kid. Was my kid being an asshole? Probably. I'll deal with them. You don't put your hands on my fucking kid. And then, here's the other thing. You're off duty. You're not operating there in an official capacity. Do you have a responsibility as an officer of the law to see that the law is preserved? Yes, but not when you're not wearing that uniform. Do you take that kind of physical stance against another individual? That should just be common sense. But it's very uncommon because guess what? While the guy was initially charged with the misdemeanor assault, that charge got dropped. So nothing happened to him. Good old Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, right? Pretty much, and whether it's JSO, St. John's County Police, beach police are actually usually not as big a dicks. I think it's just the beach culture out there. But anywhere in Duval, St. John's County, they're pretty much the worst. And Sheriff T.K. Waters is the top asshole of them all. And I would be so grateful to see something happen to him in light of all these terrible things. I know I'm going on this rant, but I'm kind of trying to establish a little a premise here, like the premise of the podcast. It's like fucking that Limp Bizkit song. It's just one of those days when you just want to give up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. Like, it really has been. And I look around and go like, what the fuck is wrong with people? What the fuck is wrong with us as a society, you know? I was actually watching the Boys, the new season. I've caught up on most of the new episodes. And it is imitating life way too accurately and openly for my tastes. I was trying to take a little time off and be like, you know, like maybe just like enjoy something. I watch The Boys. I'm like, I'm watching the news. I'm watching all the shit that I was irritated about with just, you know, life in general. And it's very interesting to watch that show because a lot of people will see just like the gore and the violence and the sex, and then that's all they see. And to be fair, that is a very, you know, that's a very fair assessment that it is violent, it is gory. There's a lot of sexual themes and sexual activity that will be off-putting to some people. However, the broader message of The Boys is multi-layered. And multi-tiered. There's a lot of allegory between the Republican regime in the United States and the way that the superhero hierarchy works in the show. The parallels there are not even remotely hidden. It's obviously the theme that people have of, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There are issues of, you know, gender and racial bias that are explored throughout the show. So if you're willing to actually get past like there's the no-no parts in the blood and guts, you get past that and not baby mind your way through it, you can actually get to see a really incisive political and social commentary on the stick, just on not just American society, but society in general. And the more I watched, the more I was like, yeah, this makes sense. Because, like, again, in that show, nobody gave a fuck about what was going on until it started affecting them. And you watch it through the show, you're like, yeah, all these people really were just kind of selfish, self-involved dickheads. And the only time they really started to do anything about anything or care about anything was when it got too close to them for comfort. Then they're like, well, now I got to try something. And then it's too fucking late. I think it's the same thing with Game Pass, which it's fucking killing me. Some of you might remember Xbox had this program called Xbox Live Gold. And when you had Xbox Live Gold, which was their online service before they converted it over to Game Pass, you would have access to what they called Games with Gold. Now, Games with Gold were free offerings that were offered up by Xbox as basically reward for paying them, you know, money for their gold service, which is basically live service before live service really became a thing. It was like live service for the console itself. So those were free and you could play those whenever, however. And I've had those games with gold since my Xbox 360 days. Well, since I'm not a current Game Pass subscriber, because I don't want to get bent over by Microsoft more often than I have to, they decided I can't use those games with gold anymore. They were free. I have them on other consoles. I have an Xbox One right now that I'm sure if I plugged it in, you know, it would have run it up until Game Pass came along, because there were times when I didn't have Xbox Live Gold, but I could still play the games with gold that I got through that service. And I had somebody the other day say like, well, that's just kind of what happens if you don't have Game Pass. I'm like, yeah. And it was like, the analogy was like, if you don't pay for Adobe, you know, the Adobe suite, then you can't use Photoshop. I'm like, that is not the same thing. That is not the same thing at all. Because while the game like the Xbox Live Gold had converted over to Game Pass, if there were free features in, let's say there were free features in Adobe that you were able to use on Photoshop, and then they decided, well, you didn't get a Photoshop license, you can't use the free shit that we had for everybody. It's only free if you buy our shit, is basically what they're saying. That's not how free works. That's not how free works at all. And that really kind of, that thought process, that logical, like, log jam that was right there was what made me crazy. And like I said, again, people don't care until it affects them. But, you know, that's just bananas to me. And I could never white knight for a corporation like that. Like, I liked Xbox for a long time. And I know that people are like, well, they're going to reduce the price of Game Pass. Too little, too fucking late, dude. You raised it up by fucking $15 for the ultimate tier. You're going to drop it down to $7? Fuck you. You're not doing us any favors right now. You're trying to save your ass. You're watching your profit margins swirl the drain. Remember last week when I mentioned that they were basically begging people to buy Series X and Series S consoles? Please buy our backlogged inventory. We want to release Project Helix, whatever the fuck we think that's about to be, and we need to make sure we clear some space on the shelves. Don't. Fuck them. Let them. The same thing with the cars that, you know, people are like, oh, the people aren't buying new cars. Why? Why? When's the last time you bought a car that was worth the damn? You know what I mean? They're so chock full of computers that if somebody turns a microwave on too close to them, they'll probably fry the goddamn thing. You'll never be able to drive it again. But we're, like I said, we're used to just kind of like that frog in a boiling pot syndrome. You're used to just sitting there and letting the temperature get turned up and turned up and turned up and turned up and turned up. Slowly going, this is fine, till you boil to death. And, you know, you don't even notice it's happening because you're not paying attention. But that's the thing that I can't do. Like, it's the thing that's not in me to do. And I know it drives people insane sometimes to hear it. I'm like, but the problem is, if I don't say it, then I'm just going to sit here and watch as everybody else stews around me. And I'm either going to get to one point where I'm going to break my foot off in someone's ass because I've kept it inside and bottled up and up to the point where the pressure builds up. And one day, somebody's going to say or do something and I'm going to fucking snap. Or I'm just going to peace out and be like, you know what? Y'all don't give a fuck. I'm out too. I don't give a shit either. When I see that kind of lackadaisical, thumb up my ass kind of attitude from people, like, I just, man, it doesn't matter to me. And as long as I'm fine, I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, man. Like, I can't deal with it. It drives me fucking crazy. Because it means that I've included you in my life, and that is going to end up infecting me at some point if I let it sit on me long enough. I can't do it. It really pisses me off. Because I think the real thing, too, is like we're becoming way too pliable and soft and also way too rigid in all the wrong ways. And it won't work out for us, you know? It's one thing to be, like, to be adaptable, to be open to change. Sure, that's a great thing. But to be so open and so fluid and so just fly by the seat of your pants, willy-nilly and airy, that you have no direction and no center and no substance is dangerous. Because you can be sold anything at that point. I mean, Dr. King said it best. The man who will stand for nothing will fall for anything, right? And at the same time, we were way too rigid and way too, you know, just planting our feet in places where, like, why? What is to be gained here? Why is this the hill? I mean, it's not everybody. It's just certain people who are willing to die on a certain hill. And it's like, this is where you're gonna draw your line in the sand, huh? This is it. It's crazy. Like, you know what? Here's the thing. When it comes to, like, and we're just pulling an issue out of thin air because it is a hot button issue. You hear about it a lot. And I think it's a very easy fix. When it comes to the LGBTQ community, why do you give a shit? You know what I mean? I know people who are upset about trans people. They're like, well, gays are getting married and trans people are going to be able to use the same bathrooms and facilities as me. And they get to live their lives. Like, why? Why do you give a shit? You don't like gay marriage? Don't get married to a gay person. Pretty simple. You know what I mean? And as far as trans issues are concerned, mind your fucking business. Why are you worried about what somebody else is doing in the bathroom? You know what I mean? If they're not doing drugs, having sex, or be doing something violent, why do you give a shit? If they're just in there taking a piss, taking a shit, what? Mind your business. Mind your business. Somebody wants to be called something other than what you think they should be called? Who fucking cares? Call them the thing. Call them the thing. I got nicknames too. I don't go like, if you don't call me by my nickname, then you're just, no, fuck it, who cares? I'm not calling you that. That's not what your mom named you. So what? I'm a grown fucking adult. I can do what I want. And if you don't want to call me that, then just don't talk to me. Leave me the fuck alone, right? How hard is that? But people get so bent about it, they will be so on it. It's fucking insane. There's just so much crazy shit that happens, you know? And I mean, thinking about, like, just like going back to, like, Nintendo, but the Xbox thing, I mean, it's really, again, it's like, we don't give a fuck until it matters to us. I think I do for a long time, and I always have. But I think, like, thanks to, like, free-to-play games, like, live service kind of games, and also corporate greed, like, we're going to see another video game industry crash. And I think it needs to happen. Like, I think as much as people, like, you know that I was always a huge fan of Xbox, and I like my Nintendo Switch and all that jazz, I think there needs to be another video game crash to kind of remind people how good they had it and, like, what they had and then what they've given away. You know what I mean? We've sold away our own ability to have quality games that are, you know, solid gameplay, storytelling, art, and are complete from day one, as opposed to having 30% of the game here and the rest of it sold to you down the road, you know, $20-$15 at a time. We've sold that away. We, as gamers, we did that. And I'm not by any means, like, you know, free from guilt here. I've done it too. You know, because I'm like, well, how else am I supposed to get the thing that I want if this is the only way that they're giving it to me? You know, and to be fair, I could have just been like, no, fuck it. I'll do anything else but this. And we all could have. I think, like, again, this is one of those things where, like I said, I'm not floating above everybody in this. I'm not completely free from blame. But at least I'm waking up and seeing, like, man, we really can't keep doing this shit anymore. And it does bother me when I hear people go like, well, that's the way business is. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, a couple hundred years ago, you know, I would have been in a field somewhere picking cotton and getting whipped on my back because that's the way business was. Does that mean the way it should have been? It's pretty scary to start picking up this, you know, this is the way it always was. This way it is. But no, fucking why? Why does that, why? What law says it has to be that way? What tenet of morality or humanity says that this is the way shit has to be? I mean, it sucks that we have to pay for, you know, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the homes that we live in. Used to be you could just go someplace, build some shit, dig a well, and you were there. Fucking happened to that? You know, you can get a whole community of people to do exactly that same thing, working together, helping each other. Didn't have to pay a fucking cent. What happened to that? Why did everything have to be so commodified? I don't know. Weird to think about it. And it's crazy because you kind of need the shit to do the stuff now. You know what I mean? Like, you need cell phones because, you know, otherwise, you know, how are you supposed to get in touch with people? How are you supposed to, you know, operate and function in the world when you're not sitting in front of a computer or at a hardline phone? But, you know, again, this is another thing. They're too expensive. They're stupidly and cheaply made. They're not feature rich enough to merit a $1,500, $2,000 cell phone. $2,000. You can buy a used car. You know what I mean? You can put a deposit on a used car for what it costs to get a cell phone. And here's the real kicker. You can't drive that bitch to work. You know what I mean? Like, that cell phone is not gonna, you know, get you to go visit your grandma. It's just going to sit in your pocket, just sucking up electricity and throwing out radiation. That's all it's going to do. I mean, I know I need a new laptop, but at the same time, I'm like, why? As long as I can figure out a way to make this one work, why would I bother getting another one that's going to not do the same thing that this one has been doing for years? Just find a way to squeeze as much life out of all the tech that I have as humanly possible. That's kind of where I'm at. Because I did just figure out, like, that was one of the reasons why I was struggling earlier. And why the podcast was, I mean, technically it's going to be on time, but I forgot also that I was up at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. Because I just moved files on my PC. Just moved some files from one drive to an external drive. And the whole fucking Reaper suite just crashed in on itself. And tried to commit harakiri. I was like, nope, don't want to do it. I'm not working today. I'm like, fuck! And I'm recording this podcast in hopes that when I do go to save this, it actually will save. Because I tried, it looked like it did. But who knows? Maybe you'll get this podcast, maybe you won't. We'll find out together. Ah, God. And then, of course, yesterday, you know, when with the fires and everything, I think that something somewhere got burnt the fuck up. And the internet was out on Monday. The wife was pissed off and had enough of it. And so she's like, call Comcast. Okay. And I don't know why everybody hates Comcast so much. I mean, I know they don't probably have as many robust offerings as some other, you know, ISPs or whatever back in the day. But almost every time I've had Comcast, the experience has been largely positive. There have always been outages that happen. There's always been mistakes that have happened. But largely, that experience of Comcast has been fairly enjoyable and also usually pretty trouble-free. Like, you know, they're like, oh, well, your bill's going to go up on this month. I'm like, oh, word, is it? Because I can always quit. You can go find me some kind of deal or something to bring that price down. Or I can switch. There are other ISPs and they will do it. Well, wait a minute. We can offer you another deal for... Yeah, you can. Couldn't you? Or you could just do this forever, right? How about stop fucking around? But that's every company, every corporation. They're always trying to upsell you on something. So can't get around that. But AT&T is pretty much on its last leg with us over here. Because they're like, we're taking it down for maintenance or something like that, you know? And it was like, it wasn't maintenance, but it was something along those lines. But it's like, if you knew you were going to do this, you have more than enough time to tell the customers, hey, on this day, everything's going to be turned off. So you might want to find another way to figure this shit out. Or make other plans to move stuff around because you won't have internet for probably 2 days. Didn't bother. Just woke up one day, internet gone. We're like, what? Now me, I'm used to that kind of shit because I'm used to living broke. I'm used to not having shit. So it doesn't really bother me so much. It's kind of annoying. But, you know, I've got books. I've got board games. I got my Nintendo Switch. You know, I got artwork that I'm working on. There's other shit that I can occupy my day with besides just thumbing through the fucking internet random, like just lazily rolling through Facebook feeds or Instagram feeds, which might be actually one of my favorite things about not being on social media is just watching the dead-eyed look that people get as they just scroll. I'm like, man, that was me too? Fuck. I'm like, I realized, and just in recent months, just in the last year or so, I've been off social media for almost a year and a half now. I mean, we're probably coming up on close to 2 years now. And just noticing how much more shit I can accomplish in the course of a single day just by not being sucked into my phone is staggering. And like I said, phones are kind of shit lately anyway, so it's not really that hard. When you look at it, you're like, the fucking thing won't do it. That's my other thing, too. It's like our smartphones just get dumber and dumber by the week. Like, they're like, we're going to switch all of your Samsung messages to Google Messages. The fuck you will. You will find out that I will very quickly decide I don't need to text a damn person. I will call everybody from here on out. I'm not using that shit. And I really want to find a way to get off this fucking Samsung platform and get onto like a OnePlus or... the Nothing phone, or the Fairphone. I really want one of those phones. Something that's not shackled to the Google, Samsung, macrocosm of, give us all your shit. Like, I'm so over that. Like, if I could find a way out of there, out of that ecosystem, I will. I know the problem with that, too, is that, like, those phones are also not cheap. They're not nearly as expensive as a Samsung phone. But like, well, yeah, well, you don't really notice because it's built into your bill and you just pay it over time. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's the problem. Because it's not, you know, built. It's not a thing I have to pay off at once and be done with it. Like, it can slowly siphon more of my life away. Like, I'd rather just give you fucking $700 and be done with you, you know? Particularly for the Fairphone and the OnePlus and all that shit. You know, just being able to drop like, you know, if I could drop like $600-$800 on a phone and just call it a life, I'd be good with it. Because like, what are they doing really? You know? Samsung sends an update like every 2 weeks. And these other companies are like, hey man, we're gonna support the same software for up to like 5-10 years. Like, shit. Sign me up, bro. I've been looking for one of them to be like, hey man, it'd be dope if one of them would sponsor the pod. I'd be like, yeah, we got this shit figured out already. Well, who knows, man? Who knows? Like I said, everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. Tell them, Fred Durst. It's just one of them days. I did see something cool. I mean, okay, I've been playing a lot of Mario Plus Rabbids lately, and I'm stuck in this one particular boss fight with this thing called a calavera, which is Spanish for skull. But the calavera is like this crazy boss, got stupid-ass support people, and I looked at the characters that I have that I can try to approach this battle with. I've tried this with multiple different team loadouts. Oh, I'm going to try it again today during stream, but I'm telling you right now, I think Nintendo hates Luigi, but they don't have the guts to kill him off. Because I think the fans love Luigi, right? I think the fans like Luigi because there's something about Luigi that's very relatable, you know? Like, we all want to aspire to be the brave hero that charges headfirst into danger, you know? Or, you know, the fun but plucky princess who's not afraid to, you know, rough it up and mix it up with their enemies. We all like those characters. There's something that's actually way more relatable about Luigi, who's like, ah, fuck this. Like, Luigi, for all like the scaredy cat stuff they kind of built into him, Luigi's got common sense. Like, they're like, what happened to Luigi? He don't go into the fucking scary dungeons with the monsters and stuff. Why? He's like, because we don't belong there. Like, even Luigi's Mansion, like a game that's designed around him, like capturing ghosts, he's scared as shit the entire time. He would rather be anywhere else doing anything else, you know? But in this game, for a game that's going to predicate itself on like trying to build a team with varied abilities, they made him actually like the weakest character in the entire game by a lot, and it's not even close. His abilities would be amazing if he wasn't going to die every three turns. Like, he's literally at the verge of death almost from the start of the game. And it's bananas. As much as that game frustrates me, and I know I can beat it, I just had to find out the right way to approach it. But yeah, it's just one of those games that's like, I don't know how to go about doing it, but as soon as I look at Luigi, I'm like, this would really work out, but man, they made him so weak, he's almost not worth using. It's kind of like how people felt about Shadowheart very early on in Baldur's Gate 3. They're like, yeah, Shadowheart's not only one of the most annoying fucking characters in the game, she's also got the worst skill set. You have to basically change her entire skill set from what she starts the game as to anything else, literally. And pretty much anything else besides being a cleric would be better for her, or whatever the fuck she is. But yeah, they're like, yeah, if you have her, she's trash. As soon as you can respect her, do it. Which I think is great. But it's funny that's Nintendo's thing. One of their flagship characters, they're like, everybody, yeah, they're like, all, I mean, every game is basically like, fuck Luigi. And the fans kind of pick Luigi because they're like, come on, guys, give him a break. It's funny to me, not funny to anybody else. Oh, and there also did see something about this game called The Hidden Ones. I've seen trailers for this thing for a while now, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty awesome mobile game only, but or maybe on Steam. But it looks like something I would love to play on, like, you know, Switch or something like that. But they had this song by this group called Anti-General. And then, like, the guest singer was, like, Guibian. I think this is how you say this person's name. Man, that song is fucking badass. I might have to go and find the trailer for The Hidden Ones. So y'all can give a look at it in the description of the pod today. But, I mean, just the little gameplay trailer they put out recently is so, so dope. I think that if you're a gaming fan, if you like martial arts action, if you like kind of like a more period piece style look to some of your games, this might be up your alley. Like I said, I think it's actually going to be on Steam too, but I wasn't sure. And yeah, Just crazy, crazy stuff. I'm gonna have to do another dream theater because I've had so many bananas dreams lately. Oh, man. I think I had an onion or some onion that was not good over the last couple of days leading up to like last night. And I was just like, my stomach was in ruins. From like Saturday night all the way up until like, you know, yesterday afternoon, just terrible. I felt like I wanted to die every time I would eat something. But it was also producing some crazy fucking dreams. So I might have to do another Dream Theater episode for Patreon. So don't forget to check that out too. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, everybody. Didn't even plug it once this time, I don't think. If I can remember correctly. Yeah, I don't think I said anything about it earlier either. I got to get a stinger for that. So I can drop it in the middle of an episode. Like when I'm like go back to author these episodes and put them up. I should be like, drop it right in the middle. So bam. It was like, hey, a little quick break from the podcast. Just a little something to break the monotony. Anyway, that was corny. I don't feel bad about that. But I had this one screwy dream about like a psychotherapist. I mean psycho. Who had like cornered me in like some kind of weird children's hospital and was using like a Raggedy Ann puppet doll to talk to me, but she wouldn't look at me. She'd only let the puppet look at me. It was really creepy. I dig into that some more later. But I mean, it's just, it's not, like I said, it seems like it's wall-to-wall shit. It's not. I mean, I fixed that little washout I was talking about the other day. I managed to throw like a whole 40-pound bag of soil in there. And it looks like it's holding. Tamped it down the best I could. And yeah, it looks like it's going to fill that gap pretty well. As long as nothing else comes down to wash the shit out. Still got to get the splash blocks. We need those. And it'd be nice to be able to get like some culvert to put in that side, on that side of the house. Catch all the damn water from flowing in there. Lord only knows what that's going to take. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it said AT&T is going to be here this weekend to give us, not AT&T, shit, Comcast. They're going to be here this week to give us new internet service. So you have to figure out how that's going to work. And especially if I decide we're going to run like some kind of gutter system or whatever, or like a drainage system on the side of the house, just so that area can dry out and maybe grow a little bit of grass instead of just being mush. That'd be great. Because it doesn't really get like a lot of sunlight at all. So if the ground can have an opportunity to dry out between rains, it would be fan-fucking-tastic. But yeah, I've got to sort that whole shit out sometime this week too. I'm going to wait and let Comcast come and do their thing, and then we'll work around them. The last thing I'm going to do is dig up something and mess up the work they're about to do. So we just have to wait on that one. Yeah, I think that's going to be... Oh yeah, I just actually just patted my head and I remembered to make a note. Shave Tech reviews. I've asked people in the past for ideas and, you know, if you know like another, you know, shave company out there, something that does like, you know, a razor service, I would definitely be interested in listening to it. I mean, not in listening to it, but listening to your suggestions and trying them out. I tried Harry's. I picked them up at Walmart and they were average. Honestly, they were not even really that average. It was kind of like, because of the name and how big they talk, the King Shit of Fuck Mountain, like Dollar Shave Club was the best. And now they're, I would say if you look at Dollar Shave Club, just because one, their razors feel very cheap, especially now, whatever they did to their Shave Tech, they've ruined it. So they feel very cheap and very... like milk toast. Harry's is a step below that. At least Dollar Shave Club razors, kind of like when you snap your handle into the blade, it feels sturdy. And it feels like it's not going to shake off and, you know, shimmy away and cut you. Harry's feels somewhat solid, but the blades are super fat. Like if you're trying to shave like a little bit underneath your nose or like more like sensitive, like a sensitive or tight squeeze, like behind your ear for your hair. Like if you're like me, you shave your head, try to get behind your ear, you know, or get like right at the top of your ear where your hair can sometimes still grow in that little line. But I mean, it's a murder to try to get the edging blade in there. like a little trimmer blade in there to kind of clean those little stray hairs up. Dollar Shave Club blades were at least thinner in comparison, about like by at least 50%. So it used to make it a lot easier to get that, you know, little wedge in there and get them little stray ass hairs that you can't normally get when you're shaving. And then I was like, you know, they felt kind of cheap. It took five ever because there were not as many blades, so it didn't produce as clean a shave as one would have hoped for. And I felt that I was going multiple passes over the same spot only to feel like no actual result. It's like, this is not fun and it's not working. So I went old school. Now it's not quite as old school as you might think, but it is like I went back to the well to like when I first started shaving. I went and got a package of Bic razors. Now they're not like the, you know, the ones you'd see in like an emergency survival kit, you know, two blades, throw it away after you use it once. Nah, it's not those. There are multiple blades. I think this one's a five blade Shave Tech thing, and it was actually a pretty cheap feeling system. The handle is incredibly lightweight. The blades almost feel like they're going to shake loose when you snap them together, you know, snap them into the handle to use them. But I'll be damned if this thing didn't produce a pretty freaking clean shave. I mean, they've only been doing it for generations, it feels like. And, I mean, probably for like, a, I wouldn't say a fraction of the price, but decidedly less than Harry's or Dollar Shave Club over time. I mean, here's the screwy thing about it. When I say cheap, I don't mean just like that they felt like, you know, kind of shoddily made. I mean like inexpensive. Like the pack that I think I picked up was like $7. Comes with a handle and three razors. Now, I get the same thing from Dollar Shave Club for like, I think it was like $15. Something like that. It was like $15 a month. But I mean, almost the same, I mean, for the same price, I could get like almost as many razors, you know? Or more, actually, you know? Because I think when I got them, I was getting, I had to look at the plan that I had. But I think it was like four razors per box. And I was getting like two packs of like two, basically it was like two of the boxes at a time. And I would always have like a couple extra ones left over. You know what I mean? And I would replace the blades though, like every 3-4 days. And I figure if I get, you know, if I pay for like four blades, right? Or how does this one work? If I pay for four blades, you know, twice, four blades to come once a month. God, why am I bad at this math? A box of four blades, two boxes of four blades that come once a month, right? There we go. Finally, we fucking got there. See? It's frustrating. And it's like $15 for that. For like the same price or less, because it's like $5.97. So for about the same price, I can get the same amount of blades, or and like for less, I can actually get the same amount of blades and then still have a little bit left over to maybe buy. Like, I push out for a little bit and get like an extra four pack from Bic. Like, so why would I spend this much money at Dollar Shave Club? You know what I mean? For a product that I don't like that doesn't cut nearly as well. And I mean, these blades are not cheap. I mean, the Bic blades are inexpensive, but they did the job really well. They're actually surprisingly sharp, because I nicked myself like once or twice just trying to shave underneath my nose, which I hadn't done with the Dollar Shave Club razor. Granted, it's partly the razor tech that they had and the way it was beveled, but also it was just they're fucking sharp. Like, these Bic razors were ridiculous. But yeah, it was crazy that was a kind of a revelation to me. And like, you know, they made such noise about us being a quality razor, this, that, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, man, bro, for real? Like, y'all fell off so hard that I'm going back to like the same company that makes fucking pens. the kind of razor that I used to put in my, you know, travel kit when I would go on school trips, you know? That's the one I'm going back to. Anyway, sorry, that was really bizarre. This has been a wild-ass podcast. I'm all over the map. Oh, but I did want to mention something that happened. we did talk about this the other day. I'm loving this thing about like MAGA idiots getting scammed by AI. People get scammed by AI. It always kind of makes me giggle just a little bit. But there was one story that we found. Oh my God, where is it? About a quote unquote influencer, right? Excuse me. I'm going to have to put this link in there so you guys see this. It was a AI generated hot girl is what they called her. And there's a name for it too. I'm trying to see if they have their name. Emily Hart. So this dude from India created this AI generated blonde chick using a couple different generative imaging tools. And then he's like, I just wanted to put some hot chick out. He's like, well, if I go into like an influencer space, I can probably get these people to give me money by pretending to be this AI hot girl. Well, that's what he did. So he's making her like this beer swilling, you know, America and apple pie and MAGA kind of pro-Christian, pro-gun, you know, anti-woke thing. He's basically selling MAGA their own asses by taking their money from them. And one of his quotes was literally the first quote, Indian man scams Republicans with AI generated model, makes thousands of dollars. His quote was, MAGA is super dumb. That actually, one, tracks. And then two, God, doesn't that just sum it up? Again, these people are mad now that he scammed them out of money. It's like, hey, man, you were willing to give it up when you thought it was just some, you know, blonde chick who was trying to get through college or whatever. You're just mad because I got you. He's like, but I gave you what you wanted. See, here's the funny thing about it is, because I don't think this is the first one that's ever done this. One of the things was he was not selling like nude photos necessarily, but he was doing like a lot of feet fetish kind of stuff or like fetish type video and photos. And these idiots bought it. And that kind of tickles me. Again, like I said, you know, people suck. And it's funny that these people are so, you know, they're so inflexible. But at the same time, they want to be so loosey-goosey, you know, with their morality in certain ways that it's like, you can't do both. You got to pick one or the other. You're going too far in both directions and neither of them make sense. It's absolutely bananas. I got to put this story into the dump so you guys can see it. If you haven't seen it, you deserve it. You owe it to your life to read this story. Oh my God. Ending it on a high point, actually, if you ask me. So I'm going to wrap this one up. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the pod. Thank you for stopping by the stream at twitch.tv/linkib. And thank you all the wonderful people over on patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been dope. And, you know, try to be better this week. All of us, we could stand to be a little bit better this week. And I'll catch you ramblers down the road. Peace.